Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Sean Douglas, speaker, master resiliency trainer, life coach, and author. And today, our scheduled guest is the guy needs no introduction. The guy is incredible. The guy is amazing. And his name is Bruce Buffer, veteran voice of the Octagon. So let's get to know him a little bit here. Bruce Buffer is the veteran voice of the UFC. His book, It's Time, My 360-Degree View of the UFC, talks about the passion that first led him to bet everything on this sport. Way back when MMA was outlawed in half the country and wasn't a dime to be made, and how that passion started with his larger-than-life father, a former Marine drill sergeant. The book describes the incredible brotherhood that makes up the UFC. To tell you about the shared bond and crazy times over the years with Randy Couture, Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, BJ Penn, and John Bones Jones, Bruce gives Octagon side insights on many big fights you remember, and just maybe to tell you about a few memorable fights that took place outside of the Octagon too. A match with a youngster named Royce Gracie, back before the phrase mixed martial arts even existed, to some other brawls you might have heard about. Aside from the varied motion picture, TV and product spokesperson campaigns and appearances over the years, Bruce also specializes in hyping up any private or corporate event through special commercial and personal event hosting appearances, and will start off the event to host and or introduce your company's principals, speakers, products, and even the event itself. He is a proven and much in-demand motivational speaker known for his corporate and event speeches, where he works with owners, salespeople, CEOs, and others, teaching and helping them perfect their individual branding and marketing and social media awareness. Bruce's podcast is called It's Time. And rightfully so. He has a quote that says, "I live my life by the theory of BSC, balls, skill, and confidence." I love it. If you want to know more about what Bruce Buffer does or his book, which you've got to get this book. It's amazing. You go to brucebuffer.com. The podcast is on there. The book's on there. Everything you want to know. You can look him up on Twitter, at Bruce Buffer, Instagram, at Bruce Buffer UFC, and guy's amazing. So let's get started. This show is live in 8 countries so far, hundreds of listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who listened to the show. We're heard in Indonesia, India, Belgium, the UK, Canada, Thailand, Norway, Switzerland, and yes, the United States. So if you are in those countries, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And the show is all about our life's transformations. So Bruce, are you there?
I'm right here, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for the introduction too. I appreciate it very much.
not a problem. This is amazing. I just want to thank you for the time. I know you're extremely busy. You got a lot going on, and taking the time out for us to talk. You know, it's gonna be amazing.
Well, let's have fun. I'm all here for you.
So the first question on the show that we always ask, because this has got to be the most important question. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you know, you wake up for passion, you wake up for purpose, you wake up with energy. So the first question we ask all the guests is why? Why do you do what you do now?
What I do why I do what I do now and what I do what I do now is all based on one thing and one thing only, and that's passion. Mm-hmm. As I write in my book, I'm all passionate about what I do in work. I'm passionate about what I do in my private life. I'm passionate about my family and my loved ones. At this stage in my life, it took me, after owning various companies, my first company being at 19 years old, my first corporation, and then going into many other business ventures too. Finally, at about 36 years old, I truly found what I was truly passionate about. And that came about from the basis of I owned two very successful companies. I had great income. I had great lifestyle. I mean, I still love my lifestyle, but I mean, I had the beach house and just loving life, period, as I still do today.
Yeah.
But the one thing that was a negative about it was waking up in the morning, I wasn't passionate about what I was doing. I was actually reaching the level of burnout, which a lot of people do in business. And that came from doing a business that I just didn't wake up feeling like, even though I was making incredible money, I just didn't have that drive and want to go to work and do everything it took to build it. So I began to realize that, hey, you know, something else is a calling for me. Something else is there. I still kept the business. I still performed at 150% every day, because I won't do anything unless I can perform at 100+%, because I always want to do the best job possible, because I take a lot of personal pride in everything I do. But what happened is, back then, I happened to meet my long-lost half-brother, who I never knew existed, named Michael Buffer, the legendary boxing announcer, known for that great phrase, "Let's get ready to rumble."
Yep.
And
WCW,
everything. WCW, most recently just the other night, in front of 90,000 people, sold out of Wembley Stadium, the big heavyweight boxing fight with Vladimir Klitschko that took place.
Yep.
With all that being said, I basically told them that, you know, I want to be your partner. I want to help trademark this phrase properly. I would go to fights and I would watch him perform, watch everybody going crazy around him. And I thought, you know, this isn't trademarked properly. There hasn't been a hat or a T-shirt made off this phrase. He's the best at what he does, the greatest at what he does, and still is. There has to be more direction here. So after I went to a big event with him on November 13th, 1992, which was the first Riddick Bowe-Evander Holyfield heavyweight fight, if you guys remember back then.
Oh, yeah.
I had an epiphany that night, and I went back to my room and wrote 3 pages of notes of everything I would do with his career, you know, from putting him on the parquet floor of the NBA court to the middle of the baseball field on the diamond to the middle of the football field on the 50-yard line, introduce the players and everybody coming out, TV, film, make video games, toys, all this kind of stuff. And I just couldn't stop. I just kept pouring these ideas out on paper, and I met with him, and I just said, you know, I want to sell my two companies. I want to quit with the money I have in the bank. I want to roll the dice. I want to make you richer and more famous than you ever dreamed, hopefully myself in the process. And I want to be your manager, and I also want to be your partner. I want to be your partner on the toys and everything that I plan on creating, and we'll make this all work. And basically, he said in so many words, he said, well, how are you going to make that happen? And I said, well, you know what? I really don't know. But if I'm going to give all this up, believe me, I'll figure it out. I'll make it happen, and we'll go to work, and it's going to be big. So that's exactly what I did. I just basically said, you know, that famous line, WTF, gave it all up. And went for it. And then I just went purely out of passion. I started traveling. I started doing trade shows. I went to every fight I could go to, shaking hands, taking names, taking phone numbers, making deals, creating deals, you know, everything it took, with a real passionate flow. And that was 25 plus years ago, and I still have that passion today, and I still manage his career along with my own.
Wow. That's incredible. I think, you know, what fascinates me about you is the level of energy that you bring and the passion at which you do it in. You know, I mean, it's different because I've been live and, you know, on TV, you know, and it's just, you can see it and feel it through the TV if you were live, you know what I mean? And when the camera cuts over and you're introducing the fighters and, you know, and I could just feel the passion, and you have a way of impacting the crowd like no other. That makes sense. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at? Like you have a way, and it's like our natural gifts and abilities and talents, and you nailed it when you said you wake up every day, you know, and I just, there was something missing. That there was something I didn't know what it was. And so when you do that and you wake up for your passion and your purpose, you'll never work a day in your life. That's the message that I got from you, is you'll never work because you wake up every day full of passion.
Yeah, exactly. Because then, you know, put very well. And because then life is by design. Life is, it's not that I'm going to work. I'm living my life. I'm waking up to live my life today. Now, you know, it's something I hope everybody strives for and everybody can feel that passion, whether even if you have a 9-to-5 job. The whole trick in life is that we're all created equal to a certain extent. Of course, some people run faster, throw, you know, footballs longer, and can definitely swim faster and all the above you can think of. But the bottom line is, as humans, barring any kind of prejudice and everything else that people come up against out in the workplace, but as humans, we're all created equal. And it's about picking that path that you choose and being the best you can be on that path and doing the best job you can do. And that's what I look at it. So I never say I'm better than anyone else. I never say that. I'm only as good as I am. And every day I go out, my last show was 2 weeks ago. The next UFC is next week in Dallas. To me, I'm going to walk out in Dallas and have the first show I ever had, and I've got to prove myself to myself that I'm worthy of the job. So I go out, I maintain my passion, I feed off the crowd, and I don't want to be a robot. I don't want to be like other announcers who stand there and concentrate on their voice and, you know, just read their cards and get a nice seat and get a paycheck. And that's all great. With all respect to everybody out there, that's fantastic. I'm there to do more. I'm a kid in a candy store in that octagon. I want to have fun. I want to be passionate. When that starts to disappear, then you're going to hear I retire. I get here and retire.
Okay. You know, I love how you were saying that. So you were on my friend Christopher Lockhead's podcast, Legends and Losers, a few weeks ago. And I met Christopher Lockhead back in Sacramento back in October. And, you know, I've been talking and talking. We've been, you know, kind of conversing. And I loved his category design. And I think that's what you did. Like, you're describing how you took a job as a ring announcer, and, you know, wrestling has them, and NBA. And I mean, they have announcers throughout every sport's got one, but there's no one like what you're doing, you know, like just like Michael Buffer, you know, when it was a big fight feel, you know what I mean? You have that big fight energy and he's like, let's get ready to rub up. He's like, like you got to pump up the crowd. How does that make you feel when you're in the middle of everybody?
It's, you know, it's an experience that you really can't relate to through words. It's something that you'd have to be standing there with me really to feel. But the best way I can tell you is that it's an incredible feeling. I never thought I'd be a cheerleader. I became the ultimate cheerleader. And I never thought I'd even like the game Simon Says, but I can get people to move and react. And it's a powerful feeling, but it's a fun feeling. It's a fun feeling because you know that the audience – I don't look at it as I have the audience in the palm of my hand. I look at it as that the audience is reacting to me because they're feeling me and they're getting what I'm trying to get across, which is to enhance that given moment, whether I'm at a corporate event coming out and opening for a corporation or one of their events, whether I'm doing another sporting event or whether I'm in the octagon in the UFC. My job is to walk out at that moment and enhance that moment for everybody. Mm-hmm. Including the fighters at a fight, including the CEOs at their corporate event, but enhance that moment for everybody beyond what their expectations were. Because right then it's going to be, you know, of course, it's time, and they've been, in the fact of fighters, they've been training for 7 or 8 weeks. Now we've been sitting here for 5 hours watching this. The main event's about to happen. It's time. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. So it's my job to convey that moment to everybody.
Do it, like I said, and you do it in a way that nobody else could. And you do it with such energy and passion. I love it.
Well, because that's really me. It's not that I run into a thank you. It's not that I run into a phone booth and come out as, you know, super announcer. That's me. That's me being me. That's me playing that game and doing the performance. I mean, some people say announcer. I'm an announcer, but I'm a performer. I'm there to perform. And when I started in this business, everybody was copying my brother Michael Buffer the way he announced. And I told myself, I'm not going to be one of those people. If I can't develop my own style and take announcing to another level the way I want to, if I can't accomplish that, then I literally would have backed out after about 3 years. I set a 3-year time limit for myself. So I said, that's the case. And if it didn't happen, then I'm gone. I didn't want to be Frank Sinatra Jr. So I went on to do what I did. And if you watch videos of me over the years, as with anybody, you mature, you get better, and you keep learning. And I'm still learning.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Nailed it. There's a story that I love, and there's a cello player, and they asked him, he's 90 years old, and they asked him, was like, why don't you give it up? Like you can barely play anymore. You know, why? I mean, he's really good, but he's like, why do you keep at it? And he's like, well, I feel like I'm just starting to get good. You know, like, that's incredible. We're always learning. Always. We're always learning.
And the moment you shut yourself off to learning, the moment you become a one-dimensional mental cerebral individual, you're going to miss out on a lot. You're going to miss out on a lot of experience. You're going to miss out on a lot of potential success, and you're not going to be the best you can be, as I was saying earlier.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'll be 60 years old.
Go ahead.
Wait one second, John. I'll be 60 years old in 3 weeks, right? So.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people walk around at my age and they go, oh, I know this, I know this. And yeah, I do know a lot. There's no question. I've had, you know, 60 years of life experiences, more than others, less than others, depending on what it was. But the bottom line is I've never shut myself off to a new idea, a new concept, or an opinion that could change an opinion I have on something. I have an open mind about everything. And I am very opinionated, but I am willing to listen.
Awesome. I'm in a mastermind group with a bunch of guys, and one of our sayings is you say yes and figure it out later. It kind of keeps that open mind. You know, I love
that.
Well,
be careful what you say yes to.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
That actually not the best advice in the world as far as what I'm hearing. Don't say yes to everything because you could be saying yes to a wrong thing, and then you'll be involved, God knows what, a legal lawsuit or somebody knocking you out in the back of the office, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. I did say yes to a friend, and then all of a sudden I got cast in a play that I've never even been in a play before. I got cast in a play, and the play is Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and I got cast as Brick. And all I did was, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, sounds fun, you know, why not? And they're like, ah, crap, I actually got it. You know, like, ah, crap. So,
well,
yeah, definitely
keep
that in mind next time. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great play, and that's a great role.
Yeah,
exactly.
Learning experience. Yep. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly what your transformation was? I feel like you have a front row seat to a lot of people's transformations, the different fighters that come in, the different coaches and trainers that are involved in the sport. Are you able to pinpoint exactly what your own transformation was and when it began?
As far as transformation to the announcer that I am today,
and who you are as a person, like I mean, I feel like character development goes into a lot over the years, and as a performer, you transform as well. This didn't work. Okay, this did work. Let me keep that. You know, I feel like
there's a lot of different development. There is, but it's not to say that I'm fully developed because again, getting back to what I said before, every night I walk out, no matter what I'm performing and what I'm doing. I look at that as a new experience that I've got to prove to myself and everybody around me that I'm the best at what I do. So in order to do that, it's a fresh experience every time. I never rehearse. I never have rehearsed. Sure, I've mentioned a couple names to myself, but I don't rehearse. I want to go out and be organically real. I want to feel the energy and feed off the real energy I'm dealing with. And if you ask me how many times I rehearse, I would ask you to figure out how many shows I've done. And every time I go on to a show, to me, that's a new rehearsal to prove that I'm better for the next moment. So it's not like I found myself at 30 or found myself at 40 or 50. I'm finding myself weekly. I'm also, you know, life is about remembering what you forget, taking everything you remember and bettering yourself for when you're going to do that the next time. Whenever you do something wrong the first time, that's not a mistake. That's a learning experience. The next time you do it wrong, it's a mistake because you should know better. So the average personality is formed by the time the child's 5 years old, the basis of the personality. Then I started going into business, and my first company, like I said, was 19. So I became getting flaked and formed from experience. I never graduated college. I was going to college, but because I had my first corporation and making the money I was making in 18, 19, most people dream of when they get out of college at 23 or 24. You know, I was already achieving this. So my goals and where I was going for was different than a lot of others and similar to others. So everybody's story is different. I can't say that I reached my pinnacle at any given moment. I can say that physically, but as far as mentally and what I have the ability to do and better myself in my workplace, I'm constantly working to reach that pinnacle. And that's one of the things that drives me. So I'll never say I'm settled and I've done everything. So I haven't. There's so much more to do.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Man, I'm goosebumps right now, man. I'm, like, energized. It's good to know that, you know what I mean? It's good, like, man, I really hope that sunk into the listeners. I'm taking notes, and life is about remembering what you forgot. Man, that is, like, super huge. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
And putting, yeah, absolutely, and putting everything in the proper perspective, whatever your role and your path are in life. You know,
yep.
It's like one of the things that, you know, when you get older, let's say you're going to date somebody, right? Or you're going to do a business venture. When you have a lot of experience in dating, you have a lot of experience in business, you recognize the mistakes before they happen. So hopefully you're not going to get caught by the Kool-Aid thoughts in business about getting rich and the pitch you're getting from the people trying to get involved with something. You got to step out of the subjective circle and look at the situation objectively and take all that past experience you have and put it into play and ask yourself, am I going to experience and go through the same thing I went through that I should have already learned about? Or am I going to formulate this and make this work for me before I start working with them so it's a perfect situation for me to go forward? You know, it just depends.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's an amazing way of looking at it.
And when it comes to the female
end,
you know, there's girls that are fun to play with and there's girls that are fun to stay with. You know, you learn more experience as you go further, and hopefully you pick the right partner for yourself in life and girlfriend and otherwise. You know,
yeah,
marriage
absolutely.
Is not much different from a business, my friend. Marriage is kind of very similar to a business. It's a business deal.
I never thought about it that way. Huh.
Well, you'll think about it when you're in a position of divorce and they're dividing the assets. Then you know you're in business.
Yeah, definitely.
And your partner, you didn't work out, and you're splitting up. Not much difference.
Yeah. It's a good way of looking at it. It's a great analogy. I'm going to have to remember that just in case. That's awesome.
Well, I put a chapter in my book to all the girls I've loved before, so I talk about all this kind of stuff in there, as I do
awesome.
On my podcast all the time.
That's awesome. I love that. So hitting on that, what do you think was the best part about the whole entire journey, about your transformation? What do you think was the best part about it?
It's not any one specific best part. There's a lot of best parts, which should play into the theory of what's, you know, where someone's at in their life. Let me put it this way. Let me reword this. To me, all business is the same. It's just the product that's different, and it all comes down to marketing. In the pursuit of what I pursued in my life, the best part is in a variety of areas. I mean, in my experiences, because of what I do, let's say just with the UFC and working with my brother managing his career all these years, I've had the wonderful ability to travel all over the world, see various countries, the different flavors in each country as far as how people handle themselves, how they react. Every country has its own distinct flavor. And, you know, it's amazing to have those experiences. I've been part of historically what has just got sold as the largest sale in franchise sports history for $4.2 billion in the UFC. I've been able to be with this company for 21 plus years as of last February. And I've seen the changes where it's grown from a spectacle to become a mainstream sport where nobody would even talk about it or cover it in the news to where now everybody wants an interview with Conor McGregor. You know, so it's like I've had the experience of growing on and maturing myself on this amazing locomotive just steaming uphill at a fast pace and having a first class seat. It's been incredible to be involved in that. It's been incredible for me to be involved in the rounding about and the marketing and the management of my brother and that incredible trademark phrase, let's get ready to rumble. So
yeah,
a lot of things are great. You have to look at every aspect of it. It's not just one specific thing. Sure, I might say, oh, I've seen the greatest fights in the world. Well, that's kind of like a pat answer you can say in every interview. There's just so much more. What I would like to say is that I've met and become friends and created relationships with some of the greatest fighters in the world beyond watching them perform as the great fighters that they are. I try to, when I eat my meal, I want to smell and taste every flavor on my plate, not just go for the steak, right? So I appreciate everything, no matter how big or how small, and I take it in, I appreciate it, and I learn from it. And that's the way I look at everything I do.
That's awesome. It's like developing that attitude of gratitude and cultivating that and utilizing that skill every day in your life. Man, that's huge.
Yep. Never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came
from.
That's
huge. Yep, absolutely. So on the flip side, is there like a part that sticks out that kind of stings a little bit? Like, is there a worst part to everything? Because sometimes you see pictures of business owners and entrepreneurs, and you see the up and down, up and down, up and down, and the scribbles and stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm great. Ah, I suck. Wait, oh, yeah, I'm really good. Ah, crap, I suck again. You know, it's like the constant roller coasters and up and ups and downs, and is there any one down moment where you're like, man, this really is going to stick with me forever?
Yeah, but it stuck with me forever as a learning experience. You know, when I had my first company in 19, I also got sued by the company I previously worked for over $1 million because all the salespeople left to go to work for me. That was a horrible experience, but it turned out to be a tremendous learning experience. So, you know, in business, you have to take the ability, just like in a fight, to get knocked down on the canvas and have the passion for what you're doing to get up and do what it takes to win the war again, to get on top again. The hardest thing in business is not the ramp up to a successful level. I think the hardest thing is once you get to that successful level is maintaining it and getting it to grow and become more successful. That's where you really got to be smarter than you've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
I completely agree.
Don't ever sit on your laurels. Don't stop. Go flow with the punches. Take them, throw them, deal with them, because that's what life's all about. It's not easy out there. Life is not easy. It's very tough out there.
Yep. Absolutely. Definitely. And in with me, you know, just starting out the show, and I've been, you know, I was a Air Force drill instructor and it was a great 4 years and just transforming, because I was always wanting to be like that speaker trainer person. And one person reaches out and says, hey, come speak at a high school or come, you know, train over here or whatever. And I do. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so passionate about this. Like, this is my purpose. And I'm taking everything that I'm learning. And then after 4 years, it culminates to, I'm going to do this professionally. And then you start building a brand. And what you were saying is just, I know those feelings and I know those emotions that you go through. And it's like you keep going, like you got denied. Like, I will talk on the TED stage in 3 years. It will happen. Like, it's not an option. And that's one of my dream goals is that's what I'm striving for. And every no is another opportunity for a yes. You know what I mean? Just one step closer. I'm just one step closer, you know, and building my brand and building my online business, the same thing.
Right.
You know, all the emotions that you go through, and it's just like, well, that didn't work. Crap. All right. So I know that didn't work. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to tweak it. Okay, that, boom, worked. Got, go for it. You know what I mean? Like, you're never sitting back. You know, you're always on the offense. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. But you also got to be able to fight defensively, fight offensively. You need to go through life being able to deal with being offensive and defensive. The mental similarities between fighting as well as even poker, the game of poker and life are very similar. You got to know when to be offensive, when to be defensive, and you certainly better know the game of life. You better be playing the player. Play the player.
Oh yeah.
Realize who you're dealing with.
I always tell people when I'm doing my training, even in the military, you know, I'm doing my training, I always tell people, like, in order for you to be successful in any arena that you're in, no matter what you're doing, no, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You have to be successful by one thing, and it's the most important thing. I always tell people, I said, you have to know the rules of the arena that you're playing in. You gotta learn to play that particular game, that particular skill well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because that's the game you're playing. That's your game right there. You got to know who your opponents are. You got to bring them together. Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. And I feel like we can't ever do this alone. Right. So I got to ask you, who's your biggest influencer?
That would be my father, Joe Buffer.
Okay.
My dad, as far as the influence, and my mom, obviously. Mm-hmm. I've had influence from a lot of other people, but I've been benefited from having wonderful people surrounding me, as well as some of the bad experiences that have occurred to give me that learning experience. But my dad was a brilliant man. He basically had me, you know, working on my attitude towards life at a very young age. And I carried those principles into everything I did in life. As far as now, you know, my mother, I've lost my father, but my mother is still alive and very motivating factor for me. And Kristen, who you've dealt with, who's vice president of my company, has worked side by side with me for 19 years, is my right arm.
Oh, wow.
And has had a huge influence on me in my life. I can't imagine running my businesses, much less going through life, without, you know, her amazing personality and presence in everything I do.
That's awesome. So on the flip side of that, who has been your biggest supporter?
Oh, just my family, without a doubt.
The same thing? Yeah.
My family.
Definitely.
That's it. Listen, when you go through life and you get to a point in life, you might ask yourself, how many best friends have I had? Well, maybe you've had like two or three, you might think, but really you might come across one or two that might take a bullet for you. So the influencers to me are, because I'm very big family-minded individual. But, you know, those people that have been with me through thick and thin, you know who your friends are when the shite hits the fan, shall we say. And you really sit back and take a look, you know, where does your trust factor go with those people? Are they people you can depend on? And I'm not talking about to borrow $1,000 from or something like that. I'm talking about that are there for you when you need them. When you're at your weak point, you need somebody to pick you up and help you feel your inner strength again and to give you that shoulder to lean on and that ear to listen to and as well as communicate with you. These are key individuals. That's your team. So I know who my team is in life, and they're my base, and we fight this life together.
Yeah, I have a similar thing, and when I train on my resilience programs, I tell people, like, you need to build a board of directors. Like, if every major company has board meetings that talks about last quarter growth, this quarter growth, next quarter growth, you know, the direction of the company, the direction of our products and sales and all that, like, why are we not doing the same thing? You know, like, so I always tell people, like, you need to build yourself a board of directors, those five or six people that are there in each area of your life that are elevating you in finances, in your wealth, in your health, your, you know, personal and professional development, spirituality, the whole thing. You need to have at least five or six people and then tell them, like, you're on my board of directors. Like, you are my direct influence. And I believe that skill of building and modeling, like you said, life and business. You know, if you can build yourself a board of directors for your life, I guarantee you it'll change everything, your perspective, everything, and it'll elevate you in every area.
Yeah, it'll elevate you and it'll help you. At the same time, you also need to look around you and say, who are the bad influencers on my life? And what you need to do with them is cut them out.
Yeah.
You got to cut them out. If you're doing business with them, you're making money off them, you're doing it, you're providing good service, whatever, fine. That's the godfather attitude, which is all important too. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But at the same time, in a social aspect of your life, if somebody is taking away from you or a bad influence, it could be that friend you had since high school that just basically never made anything of themselves. And they're draining. They're more parasitical than they are supportive. Well, you know what? Time to mature, time to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Cut those people out of your life. Cut them out. Or keep them at arm's length so they can't influence you beyond, you know, hello, how are you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about where you're headed now. You got any new adventures, businesses, family, you know, what's new? I mean, I know the UFC event's coming up, but yeah, let's talk about what's going on new.
Well, I've got a few new business ventures I can't talk about right now involving anything from the TV world to products that I'm going to be working with in the next year to 2 years. You'll see that I'll be putting my name on or part of coming out, whatever the case might be. Of course, the UFC growth. Right now, Chris and I have developed for the fans, which we sell off our website at brucebuffer.com, the specialized championship introduction voiceovers for UFC fans, as well as I do a ton of weddings, both audio and video, announcing the bride and groom into the reception, you know, walking down. Yeah, no, it's great. I love doing it because the thank you letters that come in, and we make them very affordable. We're not out to gouge anybody. And also, we give away partial proceeds to my favorite animal, military and children's charities. But that's proven to be a very what started as a Christmas special that we ran now has become on itself quite the business in itself. So we're building the voiceover and video introduction business because no matter what your business, no matter what you do in life, if you want it for your website, if you want it for your podcast, if you want it just for your own personal listening pleasure, down to even your voicemail for your phone, we offer services for everything. And that's building. That's actually building very, very fast, and we're enjoying it. And passionately we do it because we like making people happy. It doesn't matter if money's changing hands. Bottom line, if you're providing a service and people write you about how happy they are, then I'm very excited about that. I mean, why not do what you love to do? Do it with passion. And if you can make a little coin and be good to the people around you as a result, well, hey, that's life by design.
Yep. Absolutely. And like I said at the beginning of the show, like, you are impacting in ways that are just incredible.
Thank you. Well, I need to do that because I'm a closer. I'm a competitive person. I love to make a deal a day, close a deal a day, win a poker hand, knock somebody off the table for all their chips. I need that competitive spirit in my life on a daily basis. So it's one of the things that keeps me moving, and I've never grown tired of what I do. I don't care, you know, how much money you make, there's always more money to make. But it's not always about money. I'm the first person to cash a check at the bank on a Monday morning. Trust me, I'll be there. But not everything about me is about the money. I have a 3-foot theory of making everybody wealthy and happy around me, and as a result, I will be taken care of, and it's always proven to work very well for me. So I like to help others.
Oh, wow.
That's why I do my motivational speeches. I teach branding and marketing to companies. I don't have a lot of time to it, but I have like a big speech in Vegas on the 22nd of this month. Got one on the 18th in L.A. I love doing that because as a motivational speaker or even as a seminar where you're teaching people, your job is to give them the information that they came there to see you for. If you influence them for 20 seconds, 20 minutes, 20 days, or 20 years, you've done your job. It's up to that person to take what they've learned and make it work for them. And I have this theory, and I'm not – that I think I wrote about it in my book, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not a religious person. I'm spiritual, but I have a high respect for everybody's beliefs and religious beliefs. And when I say to somebody, may God bless you, what I mean by that is whoever your God is, if you're a Buddhist, if you're Catholic, if you're Jewish, whoever your God is, I hope they bless you, okay? Because that's your right to believe the way you see fit. I also believe in the theory of being the governor of my own destiny, which to me is spelled G-O-D or God. I am my own God because ultimately I have to look to myself, as we all do, for the ultimate decision of yes or no, am I going to do this or not? That ultimately has to come down to you. If your God gives you the support and your beliefs give you the support to make that decision, ultimately, I believe that we all are God in the end because we are the governor of our own destiny. We're the ones that have to make that final push. And I say that with respect to all religions. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just talking factual and real.
That's a good perspective. I mean, if you think about it, it's a really good perspective because ultimately the decision is yours. You gotta step forward.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have I sat down? Yeah, absolutely. I thought, God, somebody give me the strength or whatever. You know that typical line, God, give me strength or whatever. But ultimately, you're the one that's going to make the decision. So you need to respect the fact that you are your all-powerful being, along with the powerful being that you believe in that gives you the drive and support to accomplish what you want to accomplish in life and take care of your loved ones and your family. But nobody ever came down and said that decision for me. I'm always the one that had to make it. And I'm sure it's pretty true of most of us. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
I guess
I'd like to know.
I guess what I was saying.
Yep.
One last thing, Sean. What I was saying by saying that is I'm trying to get across, and what I try to get across to people is you need to believe in yourself, right? It's one thing to look for power from others, but ultimately the most successful people, because they work from a point of constructive ego, not conceited ego, and they believe in themselves and their abilities to go forward and do it. And then, of course, you get to the other things where the secret of success is delegation, teaching others to do what you do, recreating yourselves. That's a very key component in every business. As an owner, as a manager, you need to know every aspect of your business, but to be successful, you need to be successful in not micromanaging, but delegating and teaching others how to teach others to do what you do.
And that just goes as an empowering leader. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, if you had to go back, Would you change anything, or would you do anything different? I mean, still along the lines of becoming a performer and speaker and author, but is there something that you would go back and do differently, or maybe change?
Not in my business world. I think that I'm very happy the way that it came along. In my other business, which is collecting, I'm a big collector of sports and movie memorabilia and antique weaponry and guns and artifacts.
Oh, cool.
I'm not a hunter.
That's interesting.
I'm not into shooting Bambi. Yeah, I'm not a hunter, but I definitely could shoot a bad guy coming to my window to hurt my family, no question. But
yeah, absolutely.
I guess going back in 1992, I wish I could go back to Westwood Sports Cards in Westwood, California, where they were selling for $20 a pack 1986 Fleer wax packs of 5 cards that contained maybe the Michael Jordan or Charles Barkley rookie card. Because the first one I ever opened had a Michael Jordan card in it, which eventually – after paying $20 for that pack, I sold that card for $1,100. Today, that card that was graded about a PSA 9 just sold for roughly $25,000. The $20 packs are now $1,600 or more. The boxes I could have bought for $200 now cost $50,000. And the cases I could have bought for $2,000 now sell for $450,000. So if I go back in time, I think I would have bought about 10 cases of 86 Fleer. How's that for an answer?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Growing up in Detroit, you know, it was huge. My uncles and my father, you know, it was all baseball cards and not football, hockey, yeah, but like the baseball cards and then the little sticks of gum that came in some of the packs of cards. My uncle probably has 100,000 baseball cards ranging from 50s, 60s all the way to, you know, now. Wow, 450,000. Jeez almighty.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Wax packs.
That is insane.
Pre-1970 wax packs and cards
mm-hmm.
that are PSA graded. If bought mm-hmm. correctly, they're appreciating in value some 10 to as much as 30-50% a year. It's incredible, I especially
wow.
the last 5 years.
That's
you
insane.
Don't make money in the
yeah,
bank
I know
anymore,
the 80s.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I'd say the 80s and 90s cards are, they like, especially the 90s, they just dumped a ton of them on the market. So they're kind of, they're not worth much, you know,
no,
if anything.
Paper.
But definitely 70s, definitely 70, I'd say 77 and below. Tops cards, really the Tops and the Fleer, but the Tops cards they're worth a lot of money. I got a bunch of those that I'm just kind of sit on and give them to my son or something. So
just sit on them.
That's cool. You
can
collect
that
stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
I have unopened wax packs from the 1950s and stuff. You know, they're very valuable stuff, but it just keeps going up, and they sell like crazy. They put them on eBay and sell them within a week.
Hmm. Wow. So
I got many areas of collecting. That'd be a whole another 2 hours.
Well, interesting fact, my wife and I built a very successful antique store by buying storage units at auction. And I had 1941 Kodak cameras, and we had all kinds of old, you know, I had 1800s silver shot glasses and Chinaware and all kinds of stuff. And that stuff I was really, really fascinated by. I loved looking up the history and, oh, wow, this was this. And all that Kodak camera was used in this. And it just the history behind the objects is really what fascinated me.
Yeah, they call that provenance. It's you know, all the history. That's what makes for collectibles, makes for fine collectibles.
Yeah.
No question.
Absolutely.
Even the UFC
yep.
cards that came out in 1999, you could have bought mm-hmm. the boxes for $69 or $75, I forget. Now they're selling probably in the area of $600 or more dollars.
Wow.
So even – you know, just don't throw away. Don't be a hoarder. But, you know, there's
yeah.
you go in your parents or your grandparents, you're going to find stuff. There's stuff there. And believe me, there's a lot of money. That's why they have all those stuff TV shows of people out there like pictures and everything going after all that stuff.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think was the best resource that you found through your whole journey? What do you think was the best resource that you found that really did it for you?
Experience.
Experience. Okay.
College teaches knowledge, but it doesn't really teach true application. You don't know what it's like to apply all your college skills until you get out there in the streets and you do what needs to be done. So the biggest thing for me was experience. Learning from my experiences, bettering myself because of them and doing it better the next time I did it. That's the biggest teaching
mm-hmm.
aid that I know. You can
That's
listen
awesome.
To 1,000 motivational speakers, you can read 1,000 books. Take an example, learn how to play poker, go read Doyle Brunson's book, go read this guy's book. No matter what, when you're sitting at the poker table and you're good and all in raise for all your chips, bottom line is you better follow your gut and make that decision correct, you know? So experience,
mm-hmm.
that's the key.
Oh, that's huge. So on the other side, because I always ask like these two-part questions, so on the other side of that, Is there a certain somebody that gave you a resource that you used that just elevated everything that you did?
Get back to my father. You know,
okay.
One of the biggest things he said is observe people, know the people you're dealing with. You walk in a room, make sure they know you walked in the room. Speak clearly, be known, have your knowledge before you open your mouth. Make sure you know what you're talking about, and get out there and do it. And let them know who you are. You know, the world is like a pyramid. I've got to go here in a few mm-hmm. minutes, but I want to give you like an example here.
Sure.
The world is like a pyramid.
Sure.
I don't care if you have a business or whatever, you know, the base of the pyramid is all the people that pack the boxes, answer the phones, do all that kind of stuff. Going up to your mm-hmm. sales managers, your salesmen, you know, up to your VPs, your vice presidents, leading into your presidents, to your CEO sitting at the top of the mountain. In the case of political environment, you know, we have President Trump now at the top of the pyramid of the United States with everybody supporting the bottom. Whether you agree, disagree, like him or not, that's the way it is. In your
yeah.
family life, you have, you know, your the father and the mother, and they give birth to children, or give birth to more children, or give birth to more children, creates this huge pyramid. Life is a pyramid. And I don't mean a pyramid scheme. I mean it's a pyramid.
Right, right.
So everybody, mm-hmm. everybody in that pyramid from the top to the bottom is just as important, because at the base of that pyramid, all those workers packing the boxes, answering the phones, you know, doing the work that needs to be done to get your product out, if that base is weak, then the whole thing falls down. So I treat everybody
yeah.
equally, you know, everybody.
Perfect. That sounds like a pretty amazing father you had.
He was amazing. He was like John Wayne Errol Flynn and Steve McQueen all rolled up into one. You know, you either want to guys who either want to be his best friend, drink beers with him, or fight him, but they all liked him in the end. You know, he just had amazing charisma. And a man who never graduated high school, but went on to run Fortune 500 companies, and actually ended his, towards the end, was doing what he did best, which is writing books and all that kind of stuff. Man was a
wow.
definite man for all reasons, man for all seasons.
That's amazing.
And very tough.
I love it.
It made me very tough.
Wow. So as we close the show. Yeah.
No, I say he also served in the Marines, World War II in Korea, and
oh, yeah.
I was a drill instructor at Camp Pendleton. So I had that, you know, that upbringing, let's shall we say.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yep. So as we close the show, here's the moment where we do a shameless plug. For no other reason, you can plug a friend, quote, websites, products, movies, whatever. This is your moment to plug whatever you'd like. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I guess the best thing is just please go, for those interested, please go to brucebuffer.com. You can plug into my podcast there. You can watch it on video or hear it on audio. It's on iTunes and SoundCloud. The voiceovers for championship introductions for UFC fans to weddings, birth of babies, you know, coming out now, you know, whatever the case might be, it's all right there. Corporate affairs and personal appearances by me for speeches and all. And anything else going on, just all at brucebuffer.com. And Instagram I happen to really enjoy, which is at brucebufferUFC, and Twitter's at brucebuffer. And there you go. And I truly appreciate you having me on the show. Your questions were very original. And hopefully I was a good guest for you. That's all I could say.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. This is like you. So I have a friend named John Broman. I have to plug John Broman. John Broman is a really amazing guy. He's an amazing speaker. I look up to the guy. And he talks about living life in the front row. And truly and amazingly, you are in my front row right now. Like, this has been an experience that I'm never going to forget. And this show and these podcasts that we do, I would have never guessed. And I just took a shot in the dark. I was listening to you on Legends and Losers. I love Christopher Lockhead. I love what he's doing and his book, Play Bigger. And I was like, man, I'm going to email him. Like, he's not going to kick my butt, I don't think. So I'll just send him an email, you know, and say, hey, I saw you on Legends and Losers. I loved what you had to say. I think it fits well with kind of my message I'm trying to put out there, that experience and passion and purpose you wake up for, right? And when you said yes, I about fell out of my chair. I'm like, oh, my God, he said yes. You know, I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So,
you know, thank you for that, Sean, but kudos to you. This is an example of what it takes to succeed in life. You stepped out. Whenever you want something in life, whether it's a job, a date with a girl you like, a business appointment, whatever, you never know what you get until you ask. You have to ask for what you want in life. But you want to handle yourself with the almighty class factor and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it perfectly. And here we are having this interview. So kudos to you. You did exactly what you're supposed to do in life. You set a goal, you reached out, you made it happen. And now we're talking. That's what it takes.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So do you
My
have
pleasure.
Any last words as we close? Are there any last words?
You know, I have a guy named Bob on my desk. Now, this Bob is a skeletal brass figure that is scary as heck to look at. So what I do is I cover him with a book around his body. So all I see is his head. And every day is a new page with a new saying. And if I follow these sayings very well. I've had the same book for some 20 years. And I love reading it every day. I turn to the next page. And if I don't do what it says and I pull the book away and all I'm seeing is a skeleton Bob, so I better listen to this, or as I say, you're going to wind up looking like Bob, right? So if I said that correctly, if you get a visual of what I'm saying. So today's saying,
absolutely.
I'll leave you with this. The vision of things to be done may come a long time before the way of doing them appears clear, but woe to him who distrusts the vision. That was said by Jenkin Lloyd Jones many, many, many years ago. But if you really analyze what it says there, that's about setting goals, that's about fulfilling your dreams and making things happen, and believing in yourself as the governor of your own destiny.
There you go. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. And, I mean, you're going to do amazing things. I can't wait to see the UFC fight this weekend. And have a good time and have, you know, thank you for everything that you're doing. I really appreciate everything that you've been doing. So
thanks very much, John. I appreciate that and all your kind words you gave to me during the interview. And as you see, when I work in the octagon, trust me, it's obvious I'm having fun. And when I'm not having fun, then that's the time to consider retiring, period.
Yeah.
So I'll see you guys from Dallas. It's May the 13th. We have the big pay-per-view.
Yep.
So UFC fans out there listening, tune in. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Absolutely. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another amazing episode with amazing guests doing impactful things. If you want to know more about Bruce Buffer, again, go to brucebuffer.com. All the show notes will have the Twitter and the Instagram addresses in there. And check them out. Check out the UFC if you haven't already. And stay tuned next time for another episode. And as I say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live your brand by living out your values in everything that you do. We'll see you next time. Have a great night.